Good morning, everybody. Here in a moment, we're going to be jumping in to our lesson. I just had a couple thoughts before we get started with the lesson today. I don't know if anybody went out and bought a Roman lamp that I had. Just going back to one of my other lessons, a lot of people ask me, well, how long does it burn? Well, I found out yesterday because I forgot about it. It burns for about 6 hours. And not only does it burn for 6 hours, but if you leave it alone and you don't touch it, the wick actually works its way back through the lamp. Because when I went to go find it, I was like, I smell olive oil. The wick was completely burnt out. It had actually fed its way through. Just, again, fascinating that the ancient world, you know, that was their primary light source and that everything worked the way that it did. All right, so then this morning I got a completely different lesson. Based on that, I just thought I would update you if anybody was interested in buying one of those lamps. I light mine all the time, especially when I'm working on sermons or whatever. I like the light that it gives and just the idea of what, you know, those Roman lamps look like. However, we're going to be talking about a completely different time frame and a completely different age. We're going to be talking about Elisha and the axe. So if you would turn over to 2 Kings 6, 1 through 7, we're going to be looking at a completely different age, a completely different time frame of this lesson. Now, one of the things that I really like about this lesson, I've liked this ever since I was little. I've always collected knives and axes and things like that. So this kind of falls in line with things that I've always enjoyed. Here in a moment, I'm going to be giving a quick synopsis of just what that story is. We're going to be reading over the story. We're going to be looking at each of the individual pieces. Towards the end of the lesson, we're going to be looking about maybe making application. And that's one of the caveats that I wanted to mention this morning. You know, I believe there's a lot of God's word about us making application in different areas. However, I want to mention, especially with this story, this made a lot of application for the time frame that it was written in. I don't know if there's certain areas. I read through a whole lot of commentaries before prepping for this lesson. A lot of commentaries are really trying to pull things exactly into how we are to do things with our daily lives as Christians. However, there's a lot of things that happen in this story that apply directly to the Jews of during this time frame. So I also want to leave this lesson in context today, but there are some things that we can make application through this. So we are going to be looking at the axe head Elisha here, and real quick synopsis of the story. We're going to be talking about Elisha. Of course, he's leading a group of growing prophets in training. These are called sons of prophets that we're going to see here in a little bit as we jump into this story. And essentially, they're needing to build a larger area. They need to go build this because they have already filled up the room that they have. So now they're going to go down to the Jordan River and they're going to chop some lumber down and they're going to build a bigger meeting house because they've already maxed their capacity. Well, during this construction of them building this, one of the workers or one of the sons of prophets that's going to be mentioned is using an axe and he's cutting away and the axe head comes off and it goes into the river. Well, he's very concerned that it went into the river because it wasn't his axe. He's borrowed it because they are leaving from an area. They're going to basically chop the wood. I'm going to believe that they're going to be taking it back. And during this time frame, he's lost this thing that he was a steward of. He's lost this axe head. Then Elisha miraculously makes it float to the surface. Now, while studying this out, there are some things to consider. I wanted to mention that this is an iron axe head, and as I was studying this out, I asked ChatGPT, I was like, so what era did Elisha live in? And it was like the Iron Age because the axe head was iron. I was like, oh, thanks. There was no need to be smart about that. But the center axe head here is iron. Now, Iron Age would have followed the Bronze Age, and these two axes are bronze. Just pointing that out because these are probably what this would have looked like during this time frame. This is the axe heads that may have looked like from this era. That doesn't mean that bronze heads wouldn't have been from that time frame, but it specifically the text says that the axe head was made of iron. Just pointing that out because as we go throughout this study, we are going to be looking at this, and of course, this is something that doesn't float. Iron is very heavy. It's actually more dense than bronze. And it would have sunk very fast as soon as it hit that water. So let's look at the text that we have pointed out today. If you were in 2 Kings 6, 1 through 7, that's where we're going to be spending most of the day today. So as the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "See now the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us make there a place where we may dwell." So he answered, "Go." Then one said, "Please consent to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them, and they came to the Jordan, and they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, "Alas, master, for it is borrowed." So the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" He showed him the place. So he cut off a stick, threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, "Pick it up for yourself." So he reached in, he reached out his hand and took it. So with this story, we're seeing quite a bit going on just here in these seven verses. And I would like to just kind of think about this as we study this morning. When we think about this, I don't really know the region that this is, because it kind of just starts off with them needing more space for them to dwell. That they have exceeded their space, so they need to go to the Jordan River. So I'm just listing that because we don't really know the place that this happened. There are a lot of people believe that it's either Bethel, Jericho, or Gilgal. However, we know the region would probably be north of the Dead Sea area. So you can see where Jericho is. We have the Sea of Galilee. There's different areas of where people think the Jericho is. And so just mentioning that, there's a lot to be questioned here. However, I do want to point out that if you were to turn back to 2 Kings, you would see that actually Elijah and Elisha spent a lot of time in Jericho. So I just want to point this out as we're studying this morning that it could have been from the area of Jericho. And then in 2 Kings 2 and 4 through 5 it says, "Then Elijah said to him, 'Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives and you as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?'" Now we're going to pick up with that here in just a little bit, where we study just a little bit more about what's going on. We will flip back to 2 Kings here in just a minute, but we're not exactly sure of the area. However, we would just assume that it may be from this area because this is the area that Elijah and Elisha would have been spending some of their ministry. Now, if we were to look at each of these individual verses as we kind of lay things out, we see that there's a growing ministry going on. There's a lot of things happening in this story, but there is a growing ministry, and we see that from verse 1, as it brings out that they're needing a whole nother place to go. So their school or their place that they're studying in is becoming too small that they need to build a bigger area. Now, we can kind of see this if they built somewhere that they thought was adequate and they've exceeded that. We can kind of see that now that there is a growing number of people there. So a lot of scholars believe it was due to the effectiveness of Elijah's ministry. That as he builds things out, he's growing this area. Now, as I was thinking about this verse, I was also thinking back in 2 Kings, where it mentions that basically Elisha asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit to be upon him. Now, let's think about this as we go throughout our study today, because we would have just saw that the sons of the prophets just said that God was going to take away Elijah from Elisha. So in 2 Kings, starting in 9, in the second chapter, it says, "And so it was that when they had crossed over," now this is actually after Elijah had set his robes down and parted the waters of the Jordan River, they walked to the other side, right? So you have like these miracles happening. So that had just happened. They cross over, and Elijah and Elisha asks, What may I do for you before I am taken from you? So Elijah just found out that Elisha is going to be taken from him. So he has this opportunity to ask. So Elijah says, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And I think about this question. I thought about this question a lot. And I think about Elisha's zeal to teach and do God's will. That he wants to do that. He wants to take this on. And I kind of attributed that to maybe that this school was growing, or this area was growing, so they were needing to build a bigger place to house everybody because he had asked to kind of like this double portion. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. So if Elisha sees what's getting ready to happen to Elijah, he knows that it will happen. Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared and horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So, essentially, Elijah is asking for this additional help, this additional portion. And I kind of feel like we kind of see that laid out as this goes on, because they are needing to build this bigger place. However, as they're building this bigger place, there's a question that they ask. And I think it's kind of interesting that this is being asked here, that they ask for Elisha to go with them, to go help build this place. Or basically, they're just going to chop lumber down to build another place. But they're asking him to go with him. I just considered, well, what if he said no? What if he didn't go with him and then that axe head was lost forever? However, this story is there for us to learn about. We think about that they were asked him to go with them, right? Because they were like kind of in a training era that they asked for him to go. So we see this desire for the other ones to want to be with them as they travel. So this request here in verse 3 shows that desire and that presence and guidance over those that are out there working. Because they went to the river, here the River Jordan. This is a picture that I took when I was there at the River Jordan. Now, this would have just been down from the Sea of Galilee, and if we're considering this to be in the area of Jericho, this would have been a good deal south. However, following through that road connecting the two from the Sea of Galilee down to the Jordan River, a lot of it looked the same, so I would imagine that there would have been a lot of trees and plants that would have looked the same as you travel through that area. So they began to work. So they're working, they're cutting down these trees, they're working hard. So I kind of see this as they are working hard for God, because they're needing to build this place. They are like in labor or in service. They're working hard towards this. And I think about that as in ministry, that we're needing to work hard for God, that they are doing this in service to him. They're going out to build that bigger school. But as they're out doing this, this is when the axe falls in the water. And when you consider this, the whole reason that they went out there was to cut trees. That was why they went. So just think, if the whole reason why you went out there to cut trees, the only tool they had was an axe, and you lose your axe, you're not really getting much done. Because that was the tool to do the job that they were doing. Completely lost the necessary tool to do the work. There was not much that individual could do if he lost his axe head. He was essentially just standing there with nothing to do, but he had that urgent issue that fell into the water. So, of course, not only was it urgent that was what they went out there to do, but it was also an urgent issue because it was something borrowed. He had that stewardship or that responsibility to bring back that borrowed item. I don't know if anybody's borrowed something from somebody, or maybe have broken something or had an issue happen. I've borrowed tools from people, and I've had them, I've had gaskets be loose, and then I have to go buy gaskets and repair it before I give it back, because I don't want to break something then give it back to somebody. We know that we are in stewardship of that thing. So when we think about these things, about how we are as a person or how that person all of a sudden was shocked that they needed that tool. However, he goes to Elisha and says, hey, I've lost this tool. I can't really do anything else, and this wasn't mine. You know, like, what do I do? I have read multiple other studies about where the water is in this area. Now, we know that waterways change, and it's probably a little bit different today. A lot of the water that I saw when I was there in Israel, especially here in the Jordan River area, there's different dams in different areas, and they restrict water flow. But some people have said that this is a very swift area, that it would have been deep. The river would have been deep in this area, and there have been swift moving water. Because Jen and I were discussing this last night, and it was like, well, why didn't he just get in the water and try to find it? Well, that might have almost been an impossible task. I'm not sure. Also, I read other commentaries where people are thinking that if he was swinging, cutting it, you know, that axe head might have went out there a ways. If it was loose, there could have been a lot of different things happening. However, he went to notify Elisha, who would have been basically his teacher, his person that he's studying with, that are leading these groups of sons of prophets. And he basically says, hey, I've done this. Now, relate that back to the beginning where I said, you know, they asked Elisha to go with him. What if he hadn't went? What if he wasn't there? But he was. And I think he was there for all of these purposes, to help do this. And then by him showing God's power by raising this axe head out of the water, it shows how important Elisha's role was to the Jewish nation at this time. As they were needing these leaders at these times, it shows the workers, it shows the individuals that were with them, the importance that they had. Elijah was there, I feel like, to fill that special role of that critical moment in Israel's history when these things are happening. Elisha performed multiple miracles of different things that happened. I'm only picking this one. But we see that as this is very important to the whole Israel's history as things are laying out. However, Elisha didn't pick it up. He asked the individual who lost the axe head to reach their hand in and take it. He made these things happen. Also, he made it happen by cutting a stick off and throwing it in the water. I find that interesting that that's listed in the Bible about maybe what the importance of that was. I still need to do quite a bit of study before I mention anything today. I read a slew of different ideas about why individuals think that that happened. The easiest way to think about that it happened is because it says that that's what happened, that he cut a stick and threw it in the water and it made the iron float. We don't really have any other ideas with that. I just think that that's important that it's listed there. But he basically has that individual pick it up after that iron is floating. So I think about this because even though that God performed this miracle through Elisha here, he still required the individual to perform an action. And hopefully you can kind of see what we're getting at a little bit today as we start to make application as we go through these thoughts and ideas. That all of these things happened, but that man still had to go in there and pull out that axe head. So as we think about the importance of this story and about what we should reflect on, I think about this story about reflecting God's work. We see that things were expanding. People were not just staying idle. They knew that they were expanding and they were needing a new place, so they decided to come together to have teamwork. Not only did they have teamwork, but they desired to be with one another and to the prophet of God. And I think about here in Proverbs 14 and 23, it says, all labor, there is profit, but idle chatter leads to only poverty. I guess we can get into that a little bit with gossip this morning. And when they were idle, they were working on this vision and diligence. So in Ecclesiastes 4 and 9, two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. We see this whole group going out to do this together. We see this teamwork about the spirituality, about what they were doing, about what they were needing, and that working towards God. And in verse 3, when we think about the importance of of these things. Sorry, Nick, it's not progressing. Sorry. In verse 3, when it talks about when Elisha goes out to work, there we go. Thank you. They didn't want to go without Elijah. They wanted God's presence there. Of course, they invited God into their efforts that they did. And I was thinking of Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And I was thinking about how Elisha was there to help them make sure that they were directing their path. Because it's not easy work. They just didn't sit back and let Elijah to do the work. They jumped into action to do those things. So as we think about that, in verse 4, we see this work beginning. So this is hard physical work that they're doing. They're going and cutting down these trees. We can think about how our work is. It's going beyond just physical work. We have to think about using God's word to direct our works and our ideas to do the practical work of a Christian. In Colossians 3 and 23 through 24, it says, and whatever you do, do it all heartily as to the Lord, as not to men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive a reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And in Galatians 6 and 9, it says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So I think about them going out and working hard and doing this extra effort where they're going and cutting down trees and bringing them back. They're building this other place. In order to do that, they had to have that necessary tool. They had to have that tool to do the work. So with it, that axe head is a tool that was necessary. It was something that was borrowed, that was not theirs. And I was just thinking about that as we build on the lesson this morning about how it represents those times that we might lose something essential. It may not happen fast, but when we think about staying sharp, I was really trying to think of a good axe or a sharpening name for the lesson today. I was like keeping sharp or looking sharp and staying in God's word. I thought of all these ideas. But really what it comes down to it is having that tool that we need. And I think about that tool that we need is God's word. We may need even other people to help us through those times. Then we think about when we work for God, it brings joy, it's strength and purchase and purpose. Right? We think about those things that God has given us to do this work. As we go out throughout our daily lives, that we need to keep that tool. And if we were to lose that tool, we'd probably become upon hard times. We need others to help us with that, to work on that tool, to gain that strength, and know how to use that tool, because it is very necessary for us. And as I mentioned before, that axe head probably came loose before it fell off. As that person was working, they noticed probably just a little too late before it came off. Therefore, we need to make sure that we're keeping our tools sharpened and our ideas and our minds sharp towards God. And we don't do it just by using the tool over and over again. We might have to clean that tool, sharpen it, make sure that it stays strong so we can use it. In Hebrews 2 and 1, it says, therefore, we must give the most earnest heed to those things we've heard, lest we drift away. I just think about that axe head being there in that river. It's not doing anything. I mean, it could have floated away. I'm not sure, especially if it was fast-moving water. It could have moved a distance. And just like that individual had to point out the place that it was lost, we may have to do that ourselves. We may have to think about those areas or those problems we run into to know what was lost, to know what we need to work on. We might have to point out those issues and faults to God so we know what was lost and where it was lost at and what we can do to build those different things. Because we have to do recovery. We have to recover from those issues. Because God miraculously can restore us. It can help us with things. However, we have to be a part of that. That individual still had to reach out and take hold of that accent. We think about how God's power can restore what is lost, but we must respond with that act and that faith. In James, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And in Philippians 3, 13 through 14, it says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching towards those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal. I think about reaching out, reaching forward to those things. Now, I've talked for about 25 or 30 minutes. So as we wrap up this morning, think about reaching out and taking hold. Think about that axe head. Think about what happened as we talk through this story this morning. It's very simple, these seven verses of this real quick story that happened, but there is a lot going on. There can be a powerful lesson in this for all of us, or that was utilized there for the Jewish nation, to think about this event that happened, strengthening the Jewish nation, the country of Israel. We see these things happen for a purpose, that God did that. We can think about staying sharp and learning from this lesson. Hopefully, this lesson has brought joy. Think about your passion towards God, spiritual strength, and our closeness to God, asking him to come with us in those times of need. Because God cares deeply about us, even the small things. He can restore those things. Those things that we have lost can be restored to us, especially if we're willing to point out those issues to say exactly where that axe head fell off in the river. Where have we fallen short? What are those things? And as we work to stay strong in the faith, I'd like to just conclude with this last verse this morning. Ecclesiastes 10:10 says, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. I think about us studying God's word and staying strong and staying sharp, about using God's word as we move forward, and about using that wisdom to help bring success in our lives. This morning, as we studied the power of God and those interesting articles of things that happened to Elisha and Elijah, I think about our own lives. If we can point out where we've fallen short, we know that God is there to help us fill those gaps in those areas. If this morning, if you find out that you have a gap and you need Jesus in your life, if you would like to become a Christian, to be baptized, to be saved by him, that might be one of those things we've fallen short in. Or if we might need prayers from the church that we can strengthen our axe and sharpen our blade, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Jesus, the loving shepherd.